a bocher came to me tonight and Taina that he doesn't understand Bilam. Like, what kind of a person was he? On the one hand you see this, on the other hand you see that. There seems to be a conflicted personality over here. On the one hand he talks to Malochim, on the other hand he talks to donkeys. What kind of a person is he? And the emes is that I happen to have been thinking about the same sort of idea. And I shared with him what I thought, and I'm going to share it with you now. But I want to say that I don't know whether my ideas over here are emes. If they appeal to you, talk to your Rebbe, talk to a Chava, and see whether it sort of is the kind of thing that you believe might be the emes of Pshat. I personally don't know whether it's the right Pshat or not. It appeals to my way of thinking, and I'll share it with you. See, the thing is like this. I don't understand the Osain talking to Bilam. Okay, so the Rabban Hashem created, like the Mishnah says in Ovas, the Piho Osain was one of those things that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. So the Rabban Hashem gave a mouth to the Osain. But the fact is that you don't speak with your mouth. To say what the Osain said to Bilam takes a lot more than a mouth. What did he say to him? He said, haven't you been riding on me since you were a little boy? So you had to have a memory. He says, is it nice that you beat me up? I've never done anything bad to you before. That means he has a sense of morality. He has a sense that good ought not to be repaid by bad. He's talking like a very, very intelligent person. That's not a piv that he needs. He needed an entire brain. I just read this week in connection with some deafness, which was I was involved in something. So the big audio doctor said, look, you don't hear with your ears, you hear with your brain. The ears are just something, they are a way for the whatever it is that stimulates the brain, it passes through the ears and it stimulates the brain. You don't hear with your ears, you hear with your brain. You don't speak with your mouth, you speak with your brain. So the brain has to have a sense of syntax. He has to have a sense of how thoughts are to be put into words. He has to have a knowledge that it's not nice to hit animals stamkacha, especially if you owe them a yasher koach for having been such a cooperative donkey for all his life. This is a human being talking. This is not a donkey talking. So if that is what, alright, so let's say that that's what the Rabban Hashem did, so then it's not a donkey who's talking, then it's a human being who's talking. Then the nes is not that the donkey is talking, the nes is that the Rabban Hashem made a human being, ki'ilu or a malach or something, and it looked like a donkey, but it had faculties which are way, way, way beyond any donkey in any kind of circumstance. A donkey doesn't have a sense of right or wrong. So what's really going on over here? And the truth is, the Mishnah in Ovos makes me wonder whether I've been understanding all this correctly in all these years, because we all know the Mishnah. So those three things seem to go together. I mean, the Mishnah counted them together because they're all P's. So it's the P Ha'oretz, the P Haber, and the P Ha'osan. Well, the P Ha'oretz and the P Haber, those are things that we are able to understand. I don't mean that we can understand how the earth sort of opened up its mouth at the right moment and then closed it again after Koyach had been swallowed. I don't understand how that works. I don't understand how the Pi Haber can have water gushing out from it. But I can understand that if you have a miraculous Koyach, and if you're coming in the Shlichus of the Rabbein Shlolem, so you can do that. But here we're talking about something completely different. We're not talking about the ability of the donkey to open his mouth at a certain time. We're talking about the donkey speaking, conveying ideas, having ethical judgments to make. Like, so then either is a donkey or is not a donkey. So if he's got a brain, suddenly, if Pio also means that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him for those few moments a human brain with the memory intact, so then he's not a donkey. A donkey doesn't have a brain. So it's not a donkey speaking. It's a donkey looking like a donkey and not being a donkey, having human faculties. So it all sounds so strange. And La'aniyus da'iti, the fact that the Mishnah brings them together, Piho Oretz, Piha Be'er, and Piho Osan, sounds to me as though they are all in the same category. And just like the Oretz and the Be'er didn't do any talking, so the Osan, I would say, also didn't do any talking. We'll soon see what I think that maybe the Pshat is. But the fact that they're all listed together does seem to me to indicate that he didn't actually talk in a human voice, in a human way. The Be'er says it's interesting that the Tosfos Yontif on the Mishnah, I had to look at it before I started saying just now, so he has a different idea. He wants to say that the Be'er also talked. The Pio Oretz, when the Oretz swallowed Korach, it also talked, because Chazal tell us that Korach went to the Duta Tachtoina of Gehinnom. He went to the very, very lowest level of Gehinnom. How do we know that? Nobody was down there to look. So he suggests that maybe the Oretz said it to the people, I'm swallowing him now and he's going to go down to the lowest Yuta in the earth. And why does the Tosfos Yontif feel that he can say that? He says because it's mentioned together with Piho Osan. So if the Piho Osan talks, so the Piho Osan can also talk. Now I don't think he says that the Piha Be'er talked, so I'm not quite sure how the logic works over there. But I do see, at least from the Tosfos Yontif, that there is assumption to make that the three things which were mentioned over here as a group would probably not be different from one another in such a vast, vast way, in which it would be, what is the connection between the earth opening its mouth and swallowing Korach and the Osan giving Bilam a lesson in ethics? It's a completely different thing. That's brain work, not pee work. So how can I say that it doesn't mean that he actually talked? I'll tell you what I think, but I don't know whether it's right. And as I say, look, you should ask somebody whether it's Nitzen Lehei Omer. I don't know whether it's Nitzen Lehei Omer. But the truth is, I had the same shaila last week in Rashi's Shitta with the Meimeriva. Rashi's shitta was the Meimeriva, that the chait was that instead of talking to the rock, he hit the rock. Last time we talked about the Meimeriva, about Chukas, we talked about the Yechon Zweig's pshat, like what's the chilek between hitting the rock and speaking to the rock. But the emes is, this year I suddenly thought, let's for a moment say that Moshe Rabbeinu had not done the wrong thing. Let us say that he would have spoken to the rock the way the Ribbono Shel Olam had told him to speak. So what would he have gone? He would have gone to the rock and he would have said, please, can we have some water? Or, I hate to trouble you, but the people are thirsty. What do you say to a rock? And what does it mean that you say something to a rock? The rock doesn't have an ear. The rock doesn't have a brain. The rock can't hear what you're saying. So what is the difference between my going to the rock and saying some words, or going to the rock and thinking those words? It's not going to make a difference to the rock. The rock can't hear you anyway. And if he could hear you, he doesn't have a brain to work over the words that you're saying. So I don't know. I would say that when the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, I don't think that he meant that Moshe Rabbeinu should actually go over to the rock and say something to the rock. What's the point of talking to a rock? He can't hear. But I think that what it means is that Benigud to the way it was 40 years earlier, said when he was supposed to hit the rock with the matter, so that matter had a certain miraculous aspects to it. It made the yamsuf into blood. It made the snakes into matters into snakes, the snakes into matters. This was a way of Moshe Rabbeinu as the Shliar of the Rebbeinu Shlalom, imposing the Rebbeinu Shlalom's will onto Teva. He wanted to make the Yam into Dam, so he smites it with a matter. It's not Moshe functioning. I think when the Rebbeinu Shlalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you talk to the rock, what it means is, impose your will on the rock. You don't have to say, act as my shliach. You don't have to say, this is Hashem doing, and I'm only the mouthpiece, and I'm taking the matter and hitting to be megale that the Rotzen Hashem is that and that. No, that the Rebbeinu Shlalom was meiser the koyach to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Moshe Rabbeinu could will. I'm using will now as a verb instead of the noun. Yeah, he could will the rock into producing water. I don't think it means that he had to say actual words to the rock, because I don't know how could. I mean, it doesn't say anywhere that it doesn't say over here in the Mishnah that the Rebbeinu Shlalom gave the rock a brain, that he could hear Moshe Rabbeinu talking. I think that if what it means that he would have been Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, if he would have spoken to the rock, what it means is that would have been the Kiddush Hashem, that the Koyach HaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Koyach HaTorah, the Koyach HaTorah is a Bailam over Teva. No, Be'emes is the Sefer Ikrim learns that way, that was the chait over here, that the Moshe Rabbeinu came and asked the Rebbeinu Shlalom what I should do. The Ikrim learns by Moro, Shamsam, Lechoito Mishpat, Sham Nisa means that there Moshe Rabbeinu learned once and for all that he is the Balabas of a Teva. He takes a bit of wood and he throws it into the water and suddenly it becomes sweet. This wasn't a matter. This was a piece of wood. So the Hastas Rebbeinu Shlalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu, my entire Moshe, you are the manik of the Yidden. Let me tell you something. Teva is meshubah to the Yidden. You need water, go to the rock and tell him that you need water. Kick the rock, hit the rock, whatever you want to do. It's in your koyach. You have the koyach to make the rock do what it wants. So there also, it seemed to me that when it says that he should have spoken to the rock, it doesn't mean that he should have formed words and said them loudly to the rock so that the rock could hear. A rock can't hear, and if you can hear, he doesn't understand what you're saying. So what does it mean? So it means that you have the koyach to make the rock give water, just like the Rebbeinu Shlalom has that koyach. So the Rebbeinu Shlalom was meiser that koyach to Moshe Rabbeinu, so it seems to me. So over here also, I don't think that it was a question of the Osoin talking to Bilam with words. I suspect since the Mishnah calls it Piho Osoin, that it means like just like the Piho Oretz and the Piha Be'er, there's Piho Osoin, maybe the donkey brayed in such a way, like maybe it sounded like somebody crying or like somebody being disappointed. In other words, that these are ideas not which the Osoin was mechadesh to Bilam. I don't think that the Osoin had ideas. And if all the Rebbeinu Shlalom gave him was a pair doesn't give you ideas. But I think that the Osoin with his mouth brayed in such a way that it was ma'ira these feelings in Bilam. Let's say that he was crying. I don't know what he was doing, but let's for argument's sake say that the braying of this particular donkey at that particular time sounded as though he was crying. Lama anem nazar. Right? So Bilam is saying, oh, Gewalt, I really did something very, very mean over here. He remembered suddenly that the Osan had always been so obedient and always so cooperative. And here suddenly he beats him up. So that is Lanius deity. Maybe one could learn that way. That it's not that the Osan actually talked, like I said, because then he wouldn't be an Osan. So it wouldn't be the Osan talking. So an Osan doesn't have a brain. But the emes is that there's more, like we're getting back to what sort of a person was Bilam. Bilam was a total, like a loser. Like, which human being? He's a Novi, right? So the Rebbeinu Shlalom communicates with him. Now let's see how he acted with the Osan. I mean, it's terrible. What happened? So Vayicha af Elokim Tihoilechu, Vayisyatse Malach Hashem Baderach Lusotan Loi, Vuhu Rachev Alasoinoi, Shneinu Oravimo, Vatere Oson es malach Hashem nitzov baderach v'chaber shlufo biyodol v'teito oso min aderach v'telo basode v'yach bilom es ha'osan l'hatoiso aderach. At that point, I don't think you can fault Bilam. Bilam hit the donkey. Why? Because it was going in the wrong direction. So Mistama, he had some way with it. Like, you know, you see, that's what the jockeys do when they want the horse to go faster, to go there, to go this direction, that direction. So he hit her. I don't think there's any problem over here with Bilam. But then, Vayamad Malach Hashem b'Mishol HaKeromim, Goder Mizeh v'Goder Mizeh, Vatere Oson es Malach Hashem v'Tilochetz el HaKir, V'Tilchatz es Regel Bilam el HaKir, V'Yosef l'HaKoyso. Oh, it doesn't say why he hit her. In the first case it says, why did he hit her? V'Yach Bilam es HaOson l'HaToyso HaDorach. That's a normal thing. But he has hit her. Why is he hit her? Because he's mad at her. The Oson hurt his leg. So what kind of a grown-up person would do that? A baby does that. A child, an immature child, gets mad, and so he strikes out, he hits somebody, because that somebody did something which he didn't want. Like a normie, like, what does he think he's going to do to the donkey if he hits him? He wants to punish the donkey, Marpita. Then it goes on. Vayosef Malach Hashem Avor, Vayamad B'mokam Tzor, She'en De'erin Toz Yemin Esmoy, Vatevi Osan Es Malach Hashem, Vatirbut Tachas Bilam, Vayicha'av Bilam, Vayachis Osan Bamakel. So the psukim are so interesting. The first time it says it, he says that he did it in order to make it go in the right direction, which I believe is perfectly okay. The second time he beats it because he's mad. And the third time he beats it with a makel because he's really mad. That's a child. That's not a human being. Like, who reacts that way? So he's a gonish, shubagonish, shubagonish, shubagonish. He's an immature child. It's unbelievable what kind of a person this Bilam was. Like, what does that mean? The MS is that this morning I was being Mavia Sevra, and I was thinking about when I was learning about the Bilam talking, the Osan talking to the Bilam, how does the pasuk go on? Vayachas Osan Amakel. Vayiftach Hashem es pi Osan, so we know the story. Then what happens? The donkey gives him Musa. Yeah, Aloy Anoichi Asoin Chosher Vochafto Olai Meoid Chosher Hayom Hazeh Haskein Iskanti Lasos Lechokoy Vayom Eloi. Said no, he's talking to the donkey. He's answering the donkey and he's saying, no, no, you're right. Yeah. What's the did the Rebbein Shem also give the donkey ears? And a brain to understand the word loy. What's going on? But what's going on with Bilam? Bilam is talking to the donkey. Then what happens? Vaygal Hashem es eine Bilam, vayayis malach Hashem nitzav baderach, v'chaber shlufo biyodo, vayikot vayishtachavu la'apov. So Bilam pays obeisance to the Malach. Vayomer lo Malach Hashem, Amor kisas hasoin chazei shodosh regolim, hinei anoichi yotzos l'sotan. Yeah, v'teit l'fonayin. He said, oh, the Osan is a perfectly decent Osan. Why did you hit him? Vayomer Bilam el Malach Hashem. What's going on over here? Do you understand the juxtaposition over here? First he's talking to the donkey, and now he's talking to Malach Hashem without batting an eyelid. What's going on with this person? It's completely ununderstandable. I mean, the fact that the Torah makes this juxtaposition to take these two things and put them mamish next to each other. Here he's talking to a donkey, there he's talking to a malach, and he's not batting an eyelid. He's just taking everything in his stride. What is going on over here? So I thought to myself that what is the answer to this bocha who asked me, like, what's going on with this Bilam? It seems to me, just from the haoros which I shared with you just now, it seems to me that Bilam was like this, that there was a total disconnect, a total dissonance between his physical and his spiritual being. Human beings, we have mentioned that Ramban in Bereshit so many times, so the Ramban shit is that before that he also had some life, and now Vayi Odom L'Nefesh Chaya means that now the guf had to become subordinated to the neshama. Yeah, by here Adam le nefesh chay. The Ramban says it's the lamed hakinyan, and what does it mean? It means that the physical part of the Adam now had to become subordinated, and that was by the mabul b'shakom hubas. So the Ramban learns that they didn't subordinate themselves at all to the things, to the spiritual. So they became just a chunk of meat. Then I don't need, I'll send the mabul. We talked the other day about Eliyahu and Hanoch King Chai began Eden. That was the total subordination of the Guf to the Neshama, so that even the Guf became holy. That's how a person is supposed to be. It seems to me that by Bilam, what's wrong with Bilam is, it seems to me that there's a total dissonance, there's a disconnect. His physical was 100% physical, his ruchnius was 100% ruchnius. The emes is, I was masked to the book again, I don't know whether this is right, but Chazal say that Lakom Yisrael Kemoshe Od Novi, Lakom Novi Yisrael Kemoshe. So, but Bumas Ha'olam Kom, that Bilam, his nevuah was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu's, whatever that means. I don't know what it means, but whatever it means something very, very significant. So how could that be? Here's a guy who doesn't have a control over his temper, and he beats up a stupid donkey because the donkey sat down. So he let out his anger on the donkey. Like, he's not a human being. He's not a mature person. So not a mature person can have a nevuah which is the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on here? But if you say, if my Taich is right, that there's a total disconnect between the physical and the spiritual, so then it begins to make a lot of sense. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he able to be Pe'al Pe'al Dababababa Marev Loi Bechidos? Why? Where is a human being? Is Moshe Rabbeinu a human being or is he not a human being? The answer is, in a certain sense, he's not a human being. Why? V'nachnu mo. The physical was totally non-existent. Nachnu mo. There's nothing in us besides the Rotzen Hashem. If there's nothing in you besides the Rotzen Hashem, so then you're not like other people whose spiritual standing is weighed down by the physical guf. So by Moshe Rabbeinu there was no physical guf, because the physical guf was more, was nothing. So Mimele, the spiritual was undiluted by any contact with the physical, and therefore he was able to have nevuah at this and this level. Now if my Taich and Bilam is correct, in spite of the same thing, no, not the pshat is that the guf is nothing. By Bilam it wasn't nachnu mo. Bilam was a horror, right? But what was it? It was a disconnect. It didn't interfere with the ruchnius of him. So the ruchnius of him was not pulled down by the physical. The ruchnius of him was not pulled down by the physical. So he was also able to have a nevuah, a me'en of that of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Bradmit was no stira. One minute earlier, he can have a little chat with his donkey. Like the physical is completely unsublimated by anything that is spiritual. It's completely separate. And here he is talking to his donkey. I don't know what he thought at the time. What suddenly happened. But he's got no problem. Yeah, he's good friends with the donkey, so why shouldn't they have a little chat? And a second later, he talks to the Malach. Oh, they're fine. The Malach comes to me. So now we're talking about Ruchnius. My Ruchnius is untouched and undisturbed by the physical part of me. Now, I don't know whether any of this is right, but to me, it does seem that it makes some sense of this very, very difficult parsha. Like I say, you know, you can research it on your own. You can ask people whether it's correct to say these svaras. It seems to me, but especially, let me just repeat it again. It seems to me that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is really a very, very strong basis for what I'm saying, because there's no doubt that the three P's were put together because they are like one group. And if the also in Wataka have actually talked like I'm talking now, and thought through things like I'm thinking through things now. So he's got, suddenly got a brain, he's got a memory, he's got a sense of ethics. That's not a pea. That's becoming human. So that's my machshava. So maybe, yeah, maybe not. But in the meanwhile, it's a very, very big musa, at least to me, and to those of you with whom it resonates, it'll also be a shtickel musa, that you see it's possible that there should be a dissonance between the spiritual and the physical. We can all be a little bit of Bilam Chas v'shalom. But the Emes is, it's true. We learn and we touch on very, very holy things in our learning. And not always does it have such a very, very big influence on the way we act when we're dealing with the physical goof. So it's not such a poshta thing. It seems that there is a possibility that there should be such a dissonance, and that people can become very, very good in a ruchnistic sense. That means they have a wonderful mind, they have an understanding of the ideas of Torah and so on and so forth, and it doesn't make a difference to the way they act when they're not acting spiritually. So this is something for all of us to think about. We don't want to become Bilams. And maybe if I have some kind of correctness in what I thought is the power of Pshat over here, maybe if you think it through and if it resonates with you, it can help you in future to try and become as non-Bilam-like as possible.